Well, thank the Lord for what He's spoken so far. Amen. Amen. This morning, Brother Marty and I are going to split this time. And we're going to first continue with a little bit of fellowship on last night's message. Brother Benjamin had a strong word in there and some fellowship. There's a little bit more we want to cover. So, and then we want to take and relate that, the matter of the Lord's recovery, to abiding in Christ in the seventh message. So I'll cover those first two points in the seventh message. Then Brother Marty will finish with points 3, 4, and 5 and kind of give an overview and wrap up for the conference. Amen. You know, this matter of the Lord's recovery. Benjamin was sharing with us last night that in Acts, the Lord poured out His Spirit and built the body. He brought all into one. Combined the Jews and the Gentiles there in Acts and all at the house of, in the day of Pentecost and at the house of Cornelius. Such a marvelous accomplishment. And that a short time after that, there began to be a degradation. And that degradation went on for approximately, continued for about 500 years, though it kind of hit a bottom. Then went on for about another 1,000 years. It's not the scale, but that's okay. Went on for about another 1,000 years until Martin Luther in about the 1500s realized man is justified by faith. And then the Lord began a recovery. And for the last 500 years, the Lord has been recovering and recovering and recovering. In last night's message, from let's just want to read the Roman numeral 1 and the first three letters. Let's read 1 and A and B together from message 6. The Lord's recovery is first the recovery of the divine life in the understanding and experience of the believers. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the divine truths as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Word of God. The truths as revealed in the Scriptures have been lost, missed, misunderstood, misinterpreted, and wrongly taught throughout the ages. Hence, there is the need of the Lord's recovery. Hence, there is the need of the Lord's recovery. They were misunderstood and mistaught throughout the ages. Then the Lord needed to have His recovery to bring back the realization of how to love the Lord, how to abide in Him, how to practice the church life, because He has a goal. He wants to come back. You know, one of the most well-known prophecies in the Bible, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. I will build my church. The Lord will do that. He's going to accomplish that. So today, He's in this process. There's been the recovery. Many truths have been recovered. Now, point C. I'm going to read this one. The crucial points of the Lord's recovery include the triune God, the all-inclusive Christ, the consummated Spirit, the eternal life, the church, the oneness of the body of Christ, the local ground of the church, and the human spirit. These are some of the key truths that have been recovered. You know, the Lord cannot get His purpose on the earth today unless we understand and experience. You know, in that Roman numeral, there are two key words there towards the end, Roman numeral 1. The understanding and experience. You know, we don't too often focus on the word understanding, but I want to just talk about it just for a minute. You know, we need to understand what the Lord wants. You know, He's given us in our soul a mind. That purpose of that mind is to understand His purpose. And in this recovery, the truths He's been recovering are so we could understand, so we could cooperate with Him on the earth today. He has a purpose, a plan, and a goal. He wants to build His body. He wants to put together, or his all-inclusive incorporation. There was us and him, him and us. He wants this incorporation of God and man, man and God. This will be his bride. This will become the new Jerusalem. But we need to understand his purpose. We need to understand how to cooperate with him. So this word understanding is important. So the Lord has had this recovery for a period of time. And this matter of the human spirit is also such a key. Our conscience, fellowship, intuition. Without really knowing and understanding the place and function of our human spirit, without understanding these truths, we cannot cooperate with him and he cannot get what he wants. He wants to come back.
Amen.
How many of you believe that this morning?
Amen.
God wants to come back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, in 1 Peter, it says we can hasten the coming of the Lord's the day of the Lord's return.
Amen.
Did you realize that? We can hasten his return.
Amen.
We can either speed him up or slow him down. So if we follow this matter of a call to life, all we've been hearing this weekend, you know, this matter of loving the Lord, kissing the Lord, loving him so much, dealing with the sin that faces us. On one hand, confessing it. On the other hand, running away from it. Keeping the word, enjoying the word, eating it, and taking it in. Obeying the anointing. No, the Lord is constantly moving. You know, every moving of the Lord in us is a painting. He's painting his nature into us. You know, just to give you a little example, experience I had. Used to do a lot, about 4 years, I did a lot of consulting work. And I had an experience one time over in Korea. I was working with a gentleman from Samsung. And I had several visits there. And we were sitting around dinner one night. And we were just talking. And he said to the other person with him, he said, I don't take Mr. Mooney or I take other consultants. Mr. Mooney's an honorable man. You know, I never actually said anything to him specifically. But the Lord had painted something into my being.
Amen.
You know, there was something of pain in there that all of a sudden he realized, you know, I'm not going to take him where I take other consultants. He never even asked me. It wasn't even a question. He didn't even ask. So the Lord paints himself into us. As we appreciate who he is, he paints himself into us.
Amen.
Okay, overcoming the world. You know, as we obey the anointing in us overcomes the world. Then, this matter of the Lord's recovery. Last night and a little bit this morning. Of life, by life, unto life. You know, Brother Benjamin last night talked briefly about in Acts 9:2 in the footnote there, the matter of dispensing, eating, taking the cross, and building the body. No, this is the way. You know, that verse talks about the way. And the way is the Lord's dispensing himself into us, us eating him, taking the cross. No, denying the natural man. No, every time we obey the anointing, we deny the natural man. Every time we eat the Lord, we deny the natural man. Sometimes we wonder, what is it to take the cross? To take the cross is to eat Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To take the cross is to obey the anointing.
Amen.
To take the cross is to say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
To take the cross is to say, Lord Jesus, come back.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, hurry up.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, get me ready.
Amen.
Okay, all these types of simple statements are taken to the cross. Every time we say, Lord, I turn my heart to you. You know, throughout my Christian life, this little phrase, Lord, I turn my heart to you. Whether I feel like it or especially when I don't feel like it, that's the cross. Lord, I turn my heart to you. As soon as I say that, the Lord operates. And I don't always feel it, but he's faithful to operate. So we're not looking for a feeling. We're just saying, Lord, I turn my heart to you. It's the declaration. It's a declaration that allows the anointing to operate and paint.
Amen.
And of course, this morning we'll spend more time on this matter of abiding in Christ. Amen. And I want to move to point number 4 in the outline. Let's read that Roman numeral 4 together. Again, sorry, outline number 6 is where we still are. Outline number 6, sorry. We must consecrate ourselves, take the way of the Lord's recovery, which is the narrow and restricted way that leads to life. The way of the Lord's recovery is the narrow and constricted way. What kind of way? Not broad? Narrow and constricted way that leads to life. This is the Lord's recovery. It's a narrow and constricted way. Yes, on one hand, the brothers mentioned earlier in the week, Romans 14, we're open to all believers to come. But we're not open to all teachings. There's a narrow and constricted way concerning the teachings. And those teachings are concerning God's economy. Those teachings are concerning what the Lord has revealed in His recovery. Century by century, we don't have the time to go through all the things that were recovered century by century. But you know, in the recovery version, and in all the footnotes, those are really a compilation of the things revealed through so many centuries, those 5 centuries, those 500 years. The seeds of many of the truths that we hold so dear in the Lord's recovery, you can find in many earlier Christian writings. Of course, the Lord revealed some precious things in a fresh way to our brothers Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. But the seeds of many of the truths can be found in much earlier Christian writings. That's why Brother Lee would always say, we stand on the shoulders of those gone before us. So the Lord is finishing the age, saints. He's finishing the age. And we have a choice. This call to life has given us the opportunity to either say, yes, Lord, I want to be in this finishing of the age, or I'm going to be on the sidelines. I can be on the field or I can be in the practice squad. Where do you want to be? On the field or in the practice squad? Amen. Amen. We want to be on the field. We want to be involved in bringing the Lord back. Amen. We don't want to be sitting on the sidelines. We don't want to have been cut from the team. We want to be there cooperating with the Lord. But we need to answer the call to life. We need to understand the truths in His recovery. They are so dear. We need to take this recovery version and just hold it close. This is the Lord's treasure to us today. It's His treasure. So it's a narrow and constricted way. You know, there are many teachings out there. We don't want them. We don't want them. We want what the Lord has revealed in His recovery. And it's a way of life. And one of the key aspects, again, is this matter of our human spirit, our conscience, fellowship, intuition. I'm going to read point A here. As ones in the Lord's recovery, we must be able to say that we are not taking the way of Christianity, but the way of constriction, according to the pattern of the Lord's life and ministry. Let me read it again. And amen each punctuation. As ones in the Lord's recovery,
amen.
We must be able to say that we are not taking the way of Christianity,
amen.
But the way of constriction,
amen.
According to the pattern of the Lord's life and ministry.
Amen.
Now, that may sound like a hard word to say, we're not taking the way of Christianity. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk just a little bit about what that means and why we say that so strongly. But we don't want things like rock music, drama clubs, dramas, dancing, plays, all these sorts of things. These don't lead to life.
Amen.
What leads to life is confessing of our sins.
Amen.
Calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
What leads to life is listening to the ministry.
Amen.
Reading the ministry, going to the trainings, being with the saints. Fleeing youthful lust.
Amen.
Being with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen.
This leads to life.
Amen.
This conference this weekend has been a conference leading to life.
Amen.
Hasn't been anything fancy. Even when we were on the boat, we were playing the CD. From New York, these young people in New York. So the Lord is calling us to life.
Amen.
Now point B. If we live and work according to our human concepts and natural ways, our living and work will be founded on sinking sand. This is to enter the wide gate and walk in the broad way that leads to destruction. The constricted way, see, in the Lord's recovery is the way of the Heavenly Father's will according to His life and nature. According to His life and His nature. Not our life, not our nature, not our thoughts, not our concepts. His life and nature. We must run the Christian race between the constricting lines of the divine life and the divine nature approved by the Lord at His to be approved by the Lord at His judgment seat. So they're constricting lines. The Lord received all. But then there are constricting lines. There are a lot of things He doesn't want. And we need to know and learn how to cooperate with the Lord. That's why, again, our human spirit, our conscience, confessing to the Lord, our fellowship with the Lord, our intuition, our knowing what He wants, a clear mind, a solid emotion, a sober emotion, a strong will to love Him are so important for going on with the Lord. Now, point F. We in the Lord's recovery must walk in our spirit.
Amen.
Let me read it again. And say it. Sorry. Let me read it. I want you to say amen at the punctuations. We in the Lord's recovery must walk in our spirit.
Amen.
Walking in the spirit restricts us.
Amen.
Calling us to live a normal Christian life.
Amen.
And making us vital.
Amen.
Healthy believers. Fulfill the goal of God's calling us to life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me just touch a little bit more on this matter of why we talked about not taking the way of Christianity. Not too long ago, in one of our meeting, young people's meetings in Palatine, where I'm from, some Christians come in. And we really thank the Lord for these other believers that came in. But during the course of the we sang a song about the spirit, exercising the spirit, and this question came up. Aren't the spirit and the soul the same thing?
No.
But this question came up. And quite honestly, most Christians today think the spirit and the soul are the same thing. And if you don't believe me, check it out. Check it out. Almost all Christians today believe the spirit and the soul are the same thing. Well, if we believe the spirit and the soul are the same thing, there is no way God can accomplish His purpose. Do you realize that? That's why we say among the general Christian work, the Lord cannot accomplish His purpose. Because they don't understand the difference between the spirit and the soul. Hebrews 4:12 talks about dividing the soul from the spirit. The Lord wants to divide the soul from the spirit. He doesn't want them to be mixed up. If you only know that the spirit and the soul are the same thing, then you're loving the Lord in your soul. That is no good. Yes, you may go to some Christian meetings and there may be some level of the Lord's life there. Yes, they're believers. So they're touching something of the Lord's life. But He cannot accomplish His purpose. See, He has a purpose on the earth today that He wants to accomplish. But He can only accomplish it if we experience and understand these truths that were mentioned in point 1C. Those eight items we talked about and the many more. If we understand and experience them, then He can accomplish His purpose. But if we don't know, if we don't even know we have a human spirit, we really have no way for the Lord to accomplish that purpose. It's kind of like you go in the room and you lean against the wall and accidentally the light goes on. Oh, wow, how'd that happen? Then somebody else leans against the wall on the other side of every three-way switch and the light goes off. Oh, where'd it go? So many times Christians touch the Lord's life by accident, but they don't know how to maintain it. They don't know how to maintain the fellowship, the intuition, the conscience, but they don't know they have a spirit. This is such a key truth in the Lord's recovery today. And again, if you don't believe me, check it out. That's why we're saying the Lord cannot accomplish what He wants among the general Christians. The Lord actually has, in a sense, two works today. A general work, and a brother shared this in the Chinese-speaking conference here, it really impressed me. He has a general work among Christians, largely to preach the gospel. And he has a specific work in his recovery, to produce the overcomers to bring him back.
Amen.
To produce the overcomers to bring him back. Amen. Hallelujah. Where do we want to be today?
Amen.
The recovery, right? The specific work to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
This is what the Lord wants today. He's calling. You know, he's making a call today. A call to ones. You know, the Lord calls all. He calls all Christians. You know, a good example I'd like in the Old Testament is Gideon's army. The Lord, you know, there were 32,000 of the army available to Gideon. And the Lord said, that's too many. You'll get proud if I use them all. So the Lord provided a test and he cut it down to 10, cut and eliminated 10,000. Still too many. Provides another test, removes another 20,000, and Gideon's left with 300. You know, the Lord's recovery today is small. But all were called. All those 30,000 had a chance. But the Lord called the 300 to accomplish a goal. But when that goal was accomplished, the other 30,000 benefited from it. Did you realize that? The reason the Lord is calling ones today is he wants to accomplish a purpose. But in the end, all Christians will benefit from that purpose. I want you to understand that. We love the Christians. We love everybody. We know the Lord has a purpose on the earth today. But he's calling. He's calling ones out. He's calling every one of us out today. In Judges 8:28. Let me just read this real quick. So Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, and they, Midian, lifted up their heads no more, and the land had rest 40 years in the days of Gideon. So the Lord called out 300, but the other 30,000 and all of Israel benefited from that. So today is the same situation. The Lord is calling all Christians. He's making the call. Now, why do some answer and some don't? That's the Lord's mercy. You know, we're not here to, you know, we don't, you know, that's the Lord's mercy. But the point is, he does call, he does have a recovery. It's a historical fact, he has a recovery. He has put his human spirit within us and revealed these facts to us. So, we just need to say, Lord, thank you that you've put me in such a place and given me a view of such truth.
Amen.
Let's just say that together. Lord, thank you.
Thank you,
Lord, you've put me here.
Given me such a vision.
Lord, I want to follow you.
Lord, I want to
be with you.
I want to be with you all the days.
Lord, I want to take care of the anointing within. You know, this matter, I want to, let's touch real quickly here, points 1 and 2 on the next page. Message 7. The revelation of abiding in Christ is a wonderful mystery for us to experience. And let's read that together with a strong emphasis on the word experience. The revelation of abiding in Christ is a wonderful mystery for us to experience. Amen. Now, sisters, let's alternate sisters and brothers reading A, B, C, and D. Sisters, go. Amen. Brothers. Amen. Sisters. Amen. Real Christian life is not to work for Christ
or do anything for
Christ, but to simply to abide in Him in uninterrupted fellowship and enjoy Him as our God-given portion. In this abiding, every spiritual blessing is ours, and we enjoy all that He has accomplished. Amen.
You know, abide in Christ in uninterrupted fellowship. You know, for that to happen, again, we need to understand the parts of our being. To stay in uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord, we need to understand our conscience, but also our fellowship, also our intuition. We need to know how to follow the anointing. We need to know how to just appreciate and enjoy the Lord face to face, how to kiss the Lord, how to enjoy Him in the morning in a sweet, precious, pleasant way. If we don't know how to do that, then we can't abide in uninterrupted fellowship. So this is really what the Lord needs from us today. Then let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
As we abide in Christ and take Him as our abode, He abides in us, we the dwelling and us. He and we and He become a mutual abode.
He and we and He become a mutual abode. This leads to the New Jerusalem. This is what the Lord wants. But that doesn't happen if we don't know our spirit. If we don't know our conscience, fellowship, intuition. If we don't know our emotion, mind, and will and how they're different. If we can't tell if it's our emotion or our spirit, we're in trouble. You know, excitement is one of the biggest counterfeits of life. Do you realize that? One of the biggest counterfeits of life is excitement. So we need to know our spirit, not the excitement of our emotion. We need to know our spirit. Now, yes, our emotion has a place to love the Lord, but our spirit needs to take the lead. But if we don't know the spirit, then it can't take the lead, and our emotion then tends to take the lead instead. So we need to know. That's why this is so important in the Lord's recovery. So important. Not excitement, spirit, life. And that example that Benjamin shared last night about the dancing, the silly dancing, and the silly speaking, that's not life. Silly dancing and speaking isn't life. Excitement's not life. Life is Christ. Life is the Lord shining in us.
Amen.
Okay, B. To have Christ, let's read it together.
To have Christ abide in us is to allow Him to dwell in us. Our hearts need to become everything to us.
Make His home in our hearts. You know, He just wants to spread. He wants to shine. He wants to touch us and say, this is not of me. This is not of me. What you're doing there, you're spending so much time on the internet. That's not me. You spend so much time in this video game. That's not me. He wants to get our time. He wants to get our heart. He doesn't want us loving video games. He doesn't want us loving cars. He doesn't want us loving studying. He wants us to study. But most college students I run into, that's not their problem. They don't love studying too much. They love too many other things too much, and the Lord just doesn't seem to have any time left. So to gain our heart, He needs to shine on all the other things we love. Then He's gaining our heart. Then He's transforming our mind. See, let's read it together.
To abide in Christ is to allow Him to abide in us. This that we become a mutual abode. This is the reality of the universal divine incorporation.
Universal divine incorporation. He dwells in us, we dwell in Him. It's so marvelous. So this is what the Lord wants today. Okay, D.
The Lord's abiding in us and our abiding in Him are all together a matter of Him being the life-giving Spirit in our spirit.
Stop. All together a matter of Him being the life-giving Spirit in our spirit. You know, if that doesn't happen, if we don't recognize Him as the life-giving Spirit in our spirit, then He can't spread in us. He cannot get that abode. Okay, keep going.
By the bountiful, immeasurable Spirit in our spirit, we know with full assurance that we and God are one, and that we abide in each other.
We and God are one, and we abide in each other. Now, this abiding is not just the fact that our spirit is mingled. This abiding is the fact that He has taken over our soul. This is the abiding we're talking about. Not just, you know, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17, but the fact that He's had an opportunity to make His home in our heart. This is the abiding. But if we don't know our spirit in a proper way, then this cannot happen. So that's again why we made this statement earlier, that the work, the Lord's work is different from what in general Christianity. Because this is not happening. This truth is not clear. This experience is not clear. So the Lord cannot get His purpose there. He's calling ones out. He's making a call today, saints. Now, if you're concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christianity, give yourselves to the truth of the Lord's recovery. How many are concerned for the brothers and sisters in Christianity? Give ourselves to the truth of the Lord's recovery. This will be what they need. This will be a light. This will be a testimony. This way they'll be able to see what the Lord is doing and be called out. Don't let the line between what the Lord is doing in His recovery and the general work in Christianity, don't let it get blurred. Don't let it be smeared. The Lord is doing something today, and He needs our cooperation. And He wants all the Christians actually to be able to benefit from this. But it takes us knowing it, understanding it, experiencing it, living it, and loving Him. Then it can happen. You know, just made a little note here. For the Lord to abide in us to the degree that we are a mutual abode requires the truth of the Lord's recovery, requires us to understand and experience the truths of the Lord's recovery. This is what the Lord needs today to accomplish this. Now, I just want to read one last note here, footnote. In back on point F in the previous outline, there's two verses, Galatians 5:16 and Galatians 5:25. I'm going to read 5:16. I'll read it. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Okay, now, this word walk here is a general walk. It's a general walk today, kind of to tread around and see what's happening and to enjoy the Lord. It's really the walk of the enjoyment of the Lord. You know, many Christians today, you'll go to a Christian meeting and you'll sense some enjoyment of the Lord. They're in this general walk of the enjoyment of the Lord. So when you say, well, the Lord was there. Yes, He was there. In the general enjoyment of the walk of the Lord. But 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, this is a more specific walk according to a specific goal, a walk in a military rank. And let me just read just one paragraph of a footnote here. Both the walk in verse 16 and the walk in this verse, verse 16 is the first walk, the Greek word peripateo, and the walk in this verse, stakeo, are by the Spirit and are regulated by the Spirit. The former, verse 16, the general walk, refers to a general daily walk. The latter, stakeo, in verse 25, to a walk that takes God's unique goal as the direction and purpose of life. Do you hear that? It takes God's unique goal as the purpose and direction of life. And a walk that follows the Spirit as the elementary rule, the basic principle. Such a walk is cultivated by living in the new creation, by pursuing Christ in order to gain Him, and by practicing the church life, thus fulfilling God's intention in Christ for the church. So this walk, this is the specific walk for the Lord's purpose today. The specific walk, a call to life, a call to enjoy the truths of the Lord's recovery, to experience and understand so the Lord can come back. So the Lord can get His bride. So the Lord can get His corporate bride. his incorporation. Now, from a practical standpoint, how do we cooperate? Does anybody know what this is? It's an iPod. Okay, it's mine, by the way. And what's on it is ministry songs and ministry messages. Period. No videos, no pictures, just ministry songs and ministry messages. And I use it when I exercise. Now, the point is this. You want to get the truth of the Lord's recovery into you? How many of you have access to, don't raise your hand yet, to an iPod, an MP3 player, a PDA, or a cell phone that can download and play MP3 files? Raise your hand. Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. This is for the Lord's recovery. Amen. This is to get the truth of the Lord's economy into our being. So, we're going to put up on the Chicago website for you how to get these, the website to go get these for free. Not the iPods. No. The MP3 files. Much, much more precious than the iPod. But we took a road trip to and from Anaheim with a number of young people. We listened to 4 of the radio messages a day. Now, these radio messages are 25 minutes long. Very precious. They usually have 3 excerpts of Brother Lee and some fellowship about them to help digest them. Very, very precious. And every book of the Bible has a series of these radio messages. And they're called actually LSM podcasts. Is it's called the Life Study of the Bible podcast. And you can get them off the lsm.org website. But we'll put the actual website up on the for you. The point is this. Use these, saints. Use these for the Lord's purpose. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal away your time. Don't let him have you waste your time. So they're touching something of the Lord's life. But he cannot accomplish his purpose. See, he has a purpose on the earth today that he wants to accomplish. But he can only accomplish it if we experience and understand these truths that were mentioned in point 1C. Those 8 items we talked about and the many more. If we understand and experience them, then he can accomplish his purpose. But if we don't know, if we don't even know we have a human spirit, we really have no way for the Lord to accomplish that purpose. It's kind of like you go in the room and you lean against the wall and accidentally the light goes on. Oh, wow. How'd that happen? Then somebody else leans against the wall on the other side of every 3-way switch and the light goes off. Oh, where'd it go? So many times Christians touch the Lord's life by accident, but they don't know how to maintain it. They don't know how to maintain the fellowship, the intuition, the conscience, but they don't know they have a spirit. This is such a key truth in the Lord's recovery today. And again, if you don't believe me, check it out. That's why we're saying the Lord cannot accomplish what he wants among the general Christians. The Lord actually has, in a sense, 2 works today. A general work, and a brother shared this in the Chinese-speaking conference here, it really impressed me. He has a general work among Christians, largely to preach the gospel. And he has a specific work in his recovery, to produce the overcomers to bring him back. Amen. To produce the overcomers to bring him back. Amen. Hallelujah. Where do we want to be today? Recovery. The recovery, right? The specific work to bring the Lord back. Amen. This is what the Lord wants today. He's calling. You know, he's making a call today. A call to ones. You know, the Lord calls all. He calls all Christians. You know, a good example I'd like in the Old Testament is Gideon's army. The Lord, you know, there were 32,000 of the army available to Gideon. And the Lord said, that's too many. You'll get proud if I use them all. So the Lord provided a test and he cut it down to 10, cut and eliminated 10,000. Still too many. Provides another test, removes another 20,000, and Gideon's left with 300. You know, the Lord's recovery today is small. But all were called. All those 30,000 had a chance. But the Lord called the 300 to accomplish a goal. But when that goal was accomplished, the other 30,000 benefited from it. Did you realize that? The reason the Lord is calling ones today is He wants to accomplish a purpose. But in the end, all Christians will benefit from that purpose. We're not. I want you to understand that. We love the Christians. We love everybody. We know the Lord has a purpose on the earth today. But He's calling. He's calling ones out. He's calling every one of us out today. In Judges 8:28. Let me just read this real quick. So Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, and they, Midian, lifted up their heads no more, and the land had rest 40 years in the days of Gideon. So the Lord called out 300, but the other 30,000 in all of Israel benefited from that. So today is the same situation. The Lord is calling all Christians. He's making the call. Now, why do some answer and some don't? That's the Lord's mercy. You know, we're not here to, you know, we don't, you know, that's the Lord's mercy. But the point is, He does call, He does have a recovery. It's a historical fact, He has a recovery. He has put His human spirit within us and revealed these facts to us. So, we just need to say, Lord, thank You that You've put me in such a place and given me a view of such truth.
Amen.
Let's just say that together. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, You've put me here. Given me such a vision. Lord, I want to follow You.
Lord, I want to
be with You.
I want to be with You
all the days.
Lord, I want to take care of the anointing within.
You know, this matter, I want to, let's touch real quickly here, points 1 and 2 on the next page. Message 7. The revelation of abiding in Christ is a wonderful mystery for us to experience. Let's read that together with a strong emphasis on the word experience.
The revelation of abiding in Christ is a wonderful mystery for us to experience.
Amen. Now, sisters, let's alternate sisters and brothers reading A, B, C, and D. Sisters, go.
Amen.
Brothers. Amen. Sisters.
Amen. Real Christian life is not to work for Christ, but to simply to abide in Him in uninterrupted fellowship and enjoy Him as our God-given portion. In this abiding, every spiritual blessing is ours, and we enjoy all that He has accomplished.
Amen. You know, abide in Christ in uninterrupted fellowship. You know, for that to happen, again, we need to understand the parts of our being. To stay in uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord, we need to understand our conscience, but also our fellowship. Also our intuition. We need to know how to follow the anointing. We need to know how to just appreciate and enjoy the Lord face to face. How to kiss the Lord. How to enjoy Him in the morning in a sweet, precious, pleasant way. If we don't know how to do that, then we can't abide in uninterrupted fellowship. So this is really what the Lord needs from us today. Then, let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
As we abide in Christ, and take him as our abode. He abides in us, we the dwelling and lives. He and we and he, become a mutual abode.
He and we and he, become a mutual abode. This leads to the New Jerusalem. This is what the Lord wants. But that doesn't happen if we don't know our spirit. If we don't know our conscience, fellowship, intuition. If we don't know our emotion, mind, and will, and how they're different. If we can't tell if it's our emotion or our spirit, we're in trouble. You know, excitement is one of the biggest counterfeits of life. Do you realize that? One of the biggest counterfeits of life is excitement. So we need to know our spirit, not the excitement of our emotion. We need to know our spirit. Now, yes, our emotion has a place to love the Lord, but our spirit needs to take the lead. But if we don't know the spirit, then it can't take the lead, and our emotion then tends to take the lead instead. So we need to know. That's why this is so important in the Lord's recovery. So important. Not excitement. Spirit. Amen. Life. Amen. And that example that Benjamin shared last night about the dancing, the silly dancing, and the silly speaking. That's not life. Silly dancing and speaking isn't life. Excitement's not life. Life is Christ. Life is the Lord shining in us. Amen. Okay, B, to have Christ, let's read it together. To have Christ abide in us is to allow him to dwell in us. Our hearts need to become everything to us. Make his home in our hearts. You know, he just wants to spread. He wants to shine. He wants to touch us and say, this is not of me. This is not of me. What you're doing there, you're spending so much time on the internet. That's not me. You spend so much time in this video game. That's not me. He wants to get our time. He wants to get our heart. He doesn't want us loving video games. He doesn't want us loving cars. He doesn't want us loving studying. He wants us to study. But most college students I run into, that's not their problem. They don't love studying too much. They love too many other things too much, and the Lord just doesn't seem to have any time left. So to gain our heart, he needs to shine on all the other things we love. Then he's gaining our heart. Then he's transforming our mind. Let's read it together. To abide in Christ is to allow him to abide in us. This that we become a mutual abode. This is the reality of the universal divine incorporation. Universal divine incorporation. He dwells in us, we dwell in him. It's so marvelous. So this is what the Lord wants today. Okay, D. The Lord's abiding in us and our abiding in him are all together a matter of him being the life-giving spirit in our spirit. Stop. All together a matter of him being the life-giving spirit in our spirit. You know, if that doesn't happen, if we don't recognize him as the life-giving spirit in our spirit, then he can't spread in us. He cannot get that abode. Okay, keep going. By the bountiful, immeasurable spirit in our spirit, we know with full assurance that we and God one, and that we abide in each other. We and God are one, and we abide in each other. Now, this abiding is not just the fact that our spirit is mingled. This abiding is the fact that he has taken over our soul. This is the abiding we're talking about. Not just, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17, but the fact that he's had an opportunity to make his home in our heart. This is the abiding. But if we don't know our spirit in a proper way, then this cannot happen. So that's again why we made this statement earlier, that the Lord's work is different from what in general Christianity. Because this is not happening. This truth is not clear. This experience is not clear. So the Lord cannot get his purpose there. He's calling ones out. He's making a call today, saints. Now, if you're concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christianity,
Give yourselves to the truth of the Lord's recovery. How many are concerned for the brothers and sisters in Christianity? Give ourselves to the truth of the Lord's recovery. This will be what they need. This will be a light. This will be a testimony. This way they'll be able to see what the Lord is doing and be called out. Don't let the line between what the Lord is doing in His recovery and the general work in Christianity, don't let it get blurred. Don't let it be smeared. The Lord is doing something today. And He needs our cooperation. And He wants all the Christians actually to be able to benefit from this. But it takes us knowing it, understanding it, experiencing it, living it, and loving Him. Amen. Then it can happen. You know, just made a little note here. For the Lord to abide in us to the degree that we are a mutual abode requires the truth of the Lord's recovery, requires us to understand and experience the truths of the Lord's recovery. This is what the Lord needs today to accomplish this. Now, I just want to read one last note here, footnote. In back on point F in the previous outline, there's two verses, Galatians 5:16 and Galatians 5:25. I'm going to read 5:16. I'll read it. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Okay, now, this word walk here is a general walk. It's a general walk today, kind of to tread around and see what's happening, and to enjoy the Lord. It's really the walk of the enjoyment of the Lord. You know, many Christians today, you'll go to a Christian meeting and you'll sense some enjoyment of the Lord. They're in this general walk of the enjoyment of the Lord. So when you say, well, the Lord was there. Yes, He was there. In the general enjoyment of the walk of the Lord. But, 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk. But now, this is a more specific walk according to a specific goal. A walk in a military rank. And let me just read just one paragraph of a footnote here. Both the walk in verse 16 and the walk in this verse, verse 16 is the first walk, the Greek word peripateo, and the walk in this verse, stoicheo, are by the Spirit and are regulated by the Spirit. The former, verse 16, the general walk, refers to a general daily walk. The latter, stoicheo, in verse 25, to a walk that takes God's unique goal as the direction and purpose of life. You hear that? Takes God's unique goal as the purpose and direction of life. And a walk that follows the Spirit as the elementary rule, the basic principle. Such a walk is cultivated by living in the new creation, by pursuing Christ in order to gain Him, and by practicing the church life, thus fulfilling God's intention in Christ for the church. So this walk, this is the specific walk for the Lord's purpose today. The specific walk, a call to life, a call to enjoy the truths of the Lord's recovery, to experience and understand so the Lord can come back, so the Lord can get His bride, so the Lord can get His corporate bride, His incorporation. Now, from a practical standpoint, how do we cooperate? Does anybody know what this is? It's an iPod. Okay, it's mine, by the way. And what's on it is ministry songs and ministry messages. Period. No videos, no pictures, just ministry songs and ministry messages. And I use it when I exercise. Now, the point is this. You want to get the truth of the Lord's recovery into you? How many of you have access to, don't raise your hand yet, to an iPod, an MP3 player, a PDA, or a cell phone that can download and play MP3 files? Raise your hand. Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. This is for God's, the Lord's recovery. Amen. This is to get the truth of the Lord's economy into our being. Amen. So, We're going to put up on the Chicago website for you how to get these, the website to go get these for free. Not the iPods. No. The MP3 files. Much, much more precious than the iPod. But we took a road trip to and from Anaheim with a number of young people. We listened to 4 of the radio messages a day. Now, these radio messages are 25 minutes long, very precious. They usually have 3 excerpts of Brother Lee and some fellowship about them to help digest them. Very, very precious. And every book of the Bible has a series of these radio messages. And they're called actually LSM podcasts. It's called the Life Study of the Bible podcast. And you can get them off the LSM.org website. But we'll put the actual website up on the for you. The point is this. Use these, saints. Use these for the Lord's purpose. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal away your time. Don't let him have you waste your time listening to nonsense. Take the opportunity to fill your days and your spare time to and from various places with the Lord's ministry on these devices. This will help the anointing. This will help you understand the anointing. It will help your mind be transformed. It will be a blessing to the Lord's recovery. If every time we see somebody with these earphones stuck in their ears, we know they're listening to something of the Lord's recovery. What an enjoyment that is. And the other thing we want to quickly mention, the East Coast College Training. July 14 to 20. I'm just going to put that up here. It's in Athens, Georgia, July 14 to 20. Go! If you're in college, find a way to go. Those that went really had a marvelous time. How many of you are here that actually went to this year? Okay. Did you enjoy it? Okay, let's have many more hands raised next year that have gone to the East Coast College Training. Again, this is how we get the Lord's ministry into our being. Going to that college training, using these devices according to the Lord's purpose. This is the way His anointing and our abiding in Christ are carried out. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to first of all echo what Ken just mentioned about receiving the ministry in the audio format. You know, one thing, as Ken is erasing this on the board, you know, the 3 parts of man are very crucial. And you know what's the outermost part is the body. And if we know that Satan knows to get something into us, he cannot go directly right into your soul. He comes, first of all, through your body. And we saw this a couple days ago when we were talking about the matter of sin. And we all know that we have 2 gates into our being. One is the eye gate. What comes into your eyes, don't think it just stops. It goes right into your soul. And another gate into our being is what is called the ear gate. What comes into the ears goes into your soul. So we know that sometimes, like was mentioned, we get tempted and Satan utilizes something outward that we see to get in through our eyes into our soul. And sometimes he uses something that we hear to get into our ears into our soul. So we should, you know, the verse that was mentioned the other day concerning this was that we should not use the members of our bodies as weapons of unrighteousness, but we should use them as slaves to righteousness. Amen. That means the very same entering points that the enemy uses, we should allow the Lord to use those entry points into our being. So what does that mean? What is the best use of your eyes is to read the Word, to read the ministry of the Word, to get the healthy, godly teaching into our being. And how about our ears? You know, I just recently, one brother, actually Brother Peter Gunderson, who was here last training, he was telling me about these. He said, Marty, just go to Living Stream Ministry site and you can download the radio messages. I don't know, I guess I knew they were there. Peter was telling me, I guess I knew they were there, but I never did it. And I got a little higher upgrade in technology about a year ago. I got myself a little MP3 player because when I was down in Austin, I saw all the brothers walking around on campus and they all had something in their ear. I said, what are you brothers doing? They showed me their little MP3 players. I said, we're just listening to the Wednesday night message. And I said, wow, that's pretty good. Anyway, I downloaded some of these radio messages. You know, lately, the last training was on 1 John. So, you know, I drive at least an hour a day, I'd say, at least. Sometimes maybe a couple hours a day in the car. And I like to listen to the news and find out what's going on in the world. But after you hear it about 10 times, you know, that's just about enough. And it gets a little boring, and not only boring, but it gets a little dead after a while. And it can get into your being and deaden you. And not quite often, along with the news, comes other things that are not real life-giving. So I got one of these little MP3 players, and I figured out how to do it. It's not that difficult. Went to the Living Stream site, went to the archives, went to the book First John, download right into my computer, and then download from the, you know, the little strap goes from your computer right into your MP3 player. And that, not only that, I don't even have a CD player in my car. I got a little tape player. I just plug in this little tape thing, hook it to my MP3 player, and wow, there it is. And, you know, these messages are only like 20, 25 minutes long. And they are so refreshing. You hear a little portion from Brother Lee's ministry. Then you hear the brothers fellowshipping back and forth. And after a half-hour drive, you just feel so refreshed. And not only that, it's a very good way to keep yourself in the truth. Anyway, so we have to take care of our ear gate. Okay, it's good to listen to music, good to listen to the CDs that the brothers have prepared, but it's also good to listen to the ministry of the Word. Okay, so this morning, we're fellowshipping how to abide. Well, the matter of abiding is very important, especially, you know, when I first saw this outline, I thought, oh, this is not going to be an easy topic. And usually my thought quite often in the past was, I know I've seen the book and I browsed it a little bit, the book by Andrew Murray, Abide in Christ. And I know I had the thought that this is something really deep and really profound and really you have to be very mature and very old and all those kind of things to practice this. But actually, you read the Bible, you read the outline here, you read some of Brother Lee's sharing on this topic, and you find out, you know, abiding is not that difficult. Abiding is very simple definition. Let me just tell you what abiding means. You know what abiding means? It means to stay. Just stay. Stay where? Stay in a given place. So I'd like to tell you a little story. The other day I was driving. I was coming down along the lake. It's called Lakeshore Drive. And along the lake, it's beautiful. There's a big park on the side. And as I was driving, I saw someone sitting in the park. And I noticed they were sitting very still. And it seemed like they had their arms folded and they were just sitting very still. And I also, you know, I had to notice this quick because I'm going down the Lakeshore Drive. Anyway, all of a sudden I notice there's a dog about 20 feet away from this person, facing this person, and also sitting very still. Okay? They're like staring at each other. So I had the impression this person is training that dog to stay. Okay? Just stay. And actually, this was in the morning, so there wasn't that many people around, but in a park, there's usually a lot of things happening. And it's very easy to get distracted, especially for a dog. I don't know if you ever had a dog. I've had a few. My children will tell you, and I'm not the best trainer of dogs, that's for sure. But I was impressed. This person was sitting there, and that dog was just sitting. It looked like that dog was waiting until the master told him, okay, you can go. So, what is it to abide? Abide means just stay where the Lord has placed you. So we all read in the very beginning, Roman numeral 1, where were we? Before we were saved, we were not in Christ. We were in Adam. We were in the fallen man. We were in the flesh. We were in sin. We were in the world. Okay? But the Bible tells us we got transferred. And how did we get transferred? We got called. And I was thinking about this. And sometimes, still, almost brings me to tears sometimes when I still think back. It wasn't that, I'm not that old, but it was a while ago. I was a freshman in college. Okay? You all laugh, but let me tell you something. You're going to be as old as me pretty soon. Seemed like I was a freshman in college just a few years ago. Anyway, it was actually this month, September. It was, I won't tell you what year it was, but it was during the Vietnam War time. And there was a lot of turmoil going on the campus. And I was separated, first time, from my family, separated from my friends. And I was in a new environment. And I was at a new school, new university on a big campus. And there were so many people around, but for some reason, I felt lonely. And not only that, it was such a confusing time on the campus with all the anti-war things going on. And I had two older brothers and one older sister. I had one older sister and brother who became a hippie. And I had another brother who went into the fraternities and became, Mr. Joe Social, So here I am, I'm a freshman in college, and I'm wondering, what am I going to do? What pathway am I going to take? Anyway, I didn't plan this. I didn't choose this. I was not running in this direction. I was not seeking after the Lord, but the Lord came to me. Amen. He sought me out. And just as real as he called the brothers, the disciples that we read about in the Gospels, in the same way, he called me. He appeared to me and attracted me. And how did it happen? It happened through some brothers who were living in my dorm. I didn't know this, but I lived in a very unusual situation. There were seven brothers, all lived on the same floor in the same dorm at the same time. Okay? And I just happened to end up on that floor. Okay? And these brothers, they stuck out. Okay? Everybody at that time, and believe it or not, including me, we all had long hair. And the trend of that age was the grubbier you could look, the better. Anyway, these brothers were different. They were not in the age of this world. They weren't trying to be religious. They were just pursuing the Lord. And their whole life was different. It was very, very easy to see. Other guys on the floor were cursing, into immorality, into drugs, into alcohol, into all kinds of things. And then here is these brothers. And they were into studying. So, wow, I thought that's what the university is about, going to school. And they were into Christ. And anyway, their testimony touched me. And I won't tell you the whole story, but eventually through them, I got saved. And I got called. And I got put into Christ. I got transferred out of Adam and into Christ. Well, that's great, but that's only the beginning. And this morning, I'd like to do something, is draw you a little map. Okay? I'd like to give you my whole life in about 10 minutes. And actually, it's the same as your life. And I like to tell you, I can't tell you where you'll be 30-some years down the road from now, like I am. But I can't tell you what kind of journey you're going to be on. In fact, I was thinking last night of a very famous book. You know, we all know the most, we covered this matter in the Summer School of Truth, the topic on the Bible. And do you know, still to this day, the Bible is the number one best-selling book in the whole world. And it has been for years and years. And not only is it best-selling, but it's probably the most given-away book in the whole world also. Anyway, do you know that a while ago, maybe 50 years, 100 years ago, there was a number two best-selling book that probably a lot of you never even heard of. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. Okay? In fact, an older brother, older than me, told me that this used to be required reading in his public school when he was growing up. Okay? Wasn't in mine, but anyway. This is a very good book. It's not a ministry book. It's not as clear as what we are enjoying today. But it's a very good story. And you know what it's a story about? Is a person. It's a, what do you call it, allegory. It's written by John Bunyan. And it's a story of a man named Christian. And this man named Christian is on a journey. And he's journeying throughout his whole life. And he runs into all kinds of distractions, just like we do. And all kinds of things that try to pull him off the way. Okay? So you think, we just read that we have entered in through a narrow gate. And now we need to walk on a constricted way. And there's some bounds, some boundaries to it. And you just can't be so loose and so lawless and just do whatever you want and go wherever you want and other than falling off this way. So the whole story here is how this man named Christian encountered one thing after another thing to get him off the way. And Brother Benjamin last night showed us that verse in Acts. Says that the disciples were of the way. And we've been called and transferred and put into Christ. At some point, we got called and we started. But this is only our beginning. And let me tell you something. You know, one thing is bad about conferences like this is sometimes it's very easy, not only for young people, but for all of us, to take it as a wonderful event and so enjoyable weekend, and then it's over and it's over. But actually, that's not according to our calling. The Bible says we were called into the fellowship. And the fellowship does not end when the weekend ends. We are called to abide and to lay hold
time listening to nonsense. Take the opportunity to fill your days and your spare time to and from various places with the Lord's ministry on these devices. This will help the anointing. This will help you understand the anointing. It will help your mind be transformed. It will be a blessing to the Lord's recovery. If every time we see somebody with these earphones stuck in their ears, we know they're listening to something of the Lord's recovery. What an enjoyment that is. And the other thing we want to quickly mention, the East Coast College Training, July 14 to 20. I'm just going to put that up here. It's in Athens, Georgia, July 14 to 20. Go! If you're in college, find a way to go. Those that went really had a marvelous time. How many of you are here that actually went to it this year? Okay. Did you enjoy it? Okay, let's have many more hands raised next year that have gone to the East Coast College Training. Again, this is how we get the Lord's ministry into our being. Going to that college training, using these devices according to the Lord's purpose. This is the way His anointing and our abiding in Christ are carried out. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to first of all echo what Ken just mentioned about receiving the ministry in the audio format. You know, one thing, as Ken is erasing this on the board, you know, the three parts of man are very crucial. And you know what's the outermost part is the body. And if we know that Satan knows to get something into us, he cannot go directly right into your soul. He comes, first of all, through your body. And we saw this a couple days ago when we were talking about the matter of sin. And we all know that we have two gates into our being. One is the eye gate. What comes into your eyes, don't think it just stops. It goes right into your soul. And another gate into our being is what is called the ear gate. What comes into the ears goes into your soul. So we know that sometimes, like was mentioned, we get tempted and Satan utilizes something outward that we see to get in through our eyes into our soul. And sometimes he uses something that we hear to get into our ears into our soul. So we should, you know, the verse that was mentioned the other day concerning this was that we should not use the members of our bodies as weapons of unrighteousness, but we should use them as slaves to righteousness. Amen. That means the very same entering points that the enemy uses, we should allow the Lord to use those entry points into our being. Amen. So what does that mean? What is the best use of your eyes? Is to read the Word. To read the ministry of the Word, to get the healthy, godly teaching into our being. And how about our ears? You know, I just recently, one brother, actually Brother Peter Gunderson, who was here last training, he was telling me about these. He said, Marty, just go to Living Stream Ministry site and you can download the radio messages. I don't know, I guess I knew they were there. Peter was telling me, I guess I knew they were there, but I never did it. And I got a little higher upgrade in technology about a year ago. I got myself a little MP3 player because when I was down in Austin, I saw all the brothers walking around on campus and they all had something in their ear. I said, what are you brothers doing? They showed me their little MP3 players. I said, we're just listening to the Wednesday night message. I said, wow, that's pretty good. Anyway, I downloaded some of these radio messages. You know, lately the last training was on 1 John. So, you know, I drive at least an hour a day, I'd say, at least. Sometimes maybe a couple hours a day in the car. And I like to listen to the news and find out what's going on in the world. But after you hear it about 10 times, you know, that's just about enough. And it gets a little boring, and not only boring, but it gets a little dead after a while. And it can get into your being and deaden you. And not quite often, along with the news, comes other things that are not real life-giving. So I got one of these little MP3 players, and I figured out how to do it. It's not that difficult. Went to the Living Stream site, went to the archives, went to the book 1 John, download right into my computer, and then download from the, you know, the little strap goes from your computer right into your MP3 player. And that, not only that, I don't even have a CD player in my car. I got a little tape player. I just plug in this little tape thing, hook it to my MP3 player, and wow, there it is. And you know, these messages are only like 20, 25 minutes long. And they are so refreshing. You hear a little portion from Brother Lee's ministry, then you hear the brothers fellowshipping back and forth. And after a half hour drive, you just feel so refreshed. Amen. And not only that, it's a very good way to keep yourself in the truth. Amen. Anyway, so we have to take care of our ear gate. Amen. Okay, it's good to listen to music, good to listen to the CDs that the brothers have prepared. But it's also good to listen to the ministry of the Word. Amen. Okay, so this morning, we're fellowshipping how to abide. Well, the matter of abiding is very important, especially, you know, when I first saw this outline, I thought, oh, this is not going to be an easy topic. And usually my thought quite often in the past was, I know I've seen the book and I browsed it a little bit, the book by Andrew Murray, Abide in Christ. And I know I had the thought that this is something really deep and really profound, and really you have to be very mature and very old and all those kind of things to practice this. But actually, you read the Bible, you read the outline here, you read some of Brother Lee's sharing on this topic, and you find out, you know, abiding is not that difficult. Abiding is very simple definition. Let me just tell you what abiding means. You know what abiding means? It means to stay. Just stay. Stay where? Stay in a given place. So I'd like to tell you a little story. The other day I was driving. I was coming down along the lake. It's called Lakeshore Drive. And along the lake, it's beautiful. There's a big park on the side. And as I was driving, I saw someone sitting in the park. And I noticed they were sitting very still. And it seemed like they had their arms folded and they were just sitting very still. And I also, you know, I had to notice this quick because I'm going down the Lakeshore Drive. Anyway, all of a sudden I noticed there's a dog about 20 feet away from this person, facing this person, and also sitting very still. Okay? They were like staring at each other. So I had the impression, this person is training that dog to stay. Okay? Just stay. And actually, this was in the morning, so there wasn't that many people around, but in a park, there's usually a lot of things happening. And it's very easy to get distracted, especially for a dog. I don't know if you ever had a dog. I've had a few, my children will tell you, and I'm not the best trainer of dogs, that's for sure. But I was impressed. This person was sitting there, and that dog was just sitting. It looked like that dog was waiting until the master told him, okay, you can go. So, what is it to abide? Abide means just stay where the Lord has placed you. So we all read in the very beginning, Roman numeral 1, where were we? Before we were saved, we were not in Christ. We were in Adam. We were in the fallen man. We were in the flesh. We were in sin. We were in the world. Okay? But the Bible tells us we got transferred. And how did we get transferred? We got called. And I was thinking about this. And sometimes, still, almost brings me to tears sometimes when I still think back. I'm not that old, but it was a while ago. I was a freshman in college. Okay? You all laugh, but let me tell you something. You're going to be as old as me pretty soon. Seemed like I was a freshman in college just a few years ago. Anyway, it was actually this month, September. It was, I won't tell you what year it was, but it was during the Vietnam War time. And there was a lot of turmoil going on the campus. And I was separated, first time, from my family, separated from my friends. And I was in a new environment. And I was at a new school, new university on a big campus. And there were so many people around. But for some reason, I felt lonely. And not only that, it was such a confusing time on the campus with all the anti-war things going on. And I had two older brothers and one older sister. I had one older sister and brother who became a hippie. And I had another brother who went into the fraternities and became, you know, Mr. Joe Social, you know. So here I am. I'm a freshman in college, and I'm wondering, what am I going to do? What pathway am I going to take? Anyway, I didn't plan this. I didn't choose this. I was not running in this direction. I was not seeking after the Lord, but the Lord came to me. Amen. He sought me out. And just as real as he called the brothers, the disciples that we read about in the Gospels, in the same way, he called me. He appeared to me and attracted me. And how did it happen? It happened through some brothers who were living in my dorm. I didn't know this, but I lived in a very unusual situation. There were seven brothers, all lived on the same floor in the same dorm at the same time. Okay? And I just happened to end up on that floor. Okay? And these brothers, they stuck out. Okay? Everybody at that time, and believe it or not, including me, we all had long hair. And the trend of that age was the grubbier you could look, the better. Anyway, these brothers were different. They were not in the age of this world. They weren't trying to be religious. They were just pursuing the Lord. And their whole life was different. It was very, very easy to see. Other guys on the floor were cursing, into immorality, into drugs, into alcohol, into all kinds of things. And then here is these brothers. And they were into studying. So, wow, I thought that's what the university is about, going to school. And they were into Christ. And anyway, their testimony touched me. And I won't tell you the whole story, but eventually, through them, I got saved. And I got called. And I got put into Christ. I got transferred out of Adam and into Christ. Well, that's great, but that's only the beginning. And this morning, I'd like to do something, is draw you a little map. Okay? I'd like to give you my whole life in about 10 minutes. And actually, it's the same as your life. And I like to tell you, I can't tell you where you'll be 30-some years down the road from now, like I am. But I can tell you what kind of journey you're going to be on. In fact, I was thinking last night of a very famous book. You know, we all know the most, we covered this matter in the Summer School of Truth, the topic on the Bible. And do you know, still to this day, the Bible is the number one best-selling book in the whole world. And it has been for years and years. And not only is it best-selling, but it's probably the most given away book in the whole world also. Anyway.